Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will... Broadcast. This is the next generation of talk. Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
Oh yeah, big day tomorrow, Wildwood, New Jersey. Are you on the way? Are you on your way? It's going to be fun. It's going to be packed. What are they saying, 40,000 people? Man, wow. Mulligans won't be as crowded, but it will be crowded. So get there early. Mulligan Shore Bar will be there from 3 until 7. Dom hanging out first, then I'll get there and watch the rally together. It'll be a lot of fun, but it's going to be crazy town. No doubt about it. I'm excited. I really am. I'm excited. Trump spoke today outside the courthouse. I just want to reiterate to you this point on the gag order. He's so right. I mean, this is, we've nothing like this we've ever seen. We've never seen anything like this before. And I just can't believe that Trump does not get the ability to go out there and say that everything Stormy Daniels, who's got all the motivation in the world to extort money from the guy, is full of it, is completely and utterly full of it. He doesn't have the right to say these things. It's just not right. It's not right. And I really hope at some point this gag order gets lifted. But the problem is, people are watching and listening to this. They love salaciousness. They love sex. They love the whole thing about this. It's Jerry Springer. It's the soap opera. But he doesn't get to give his side of the story. And they're baiting him into testifying. And the problem with him testifying is they may ask him an immaterial question, and he may answer it to the best of his knowledge, but it may turn out to be not true. Then they may charge him with lying, perjury, lock him up for that. I mean, they're desperate. They're desperate at this point. This guy on MSNBC who said, you know, the legal cavalry is not coming in to save the day here. The legal cavalry. They had hoped four different cases, and they're all falling apart before their eyes. This case, no crime. Stormy Daniels, I mean, destroyed her own credibility on the stand. Even the judge acknowledged that. Georgia is an S show. Speaking of sex and salaciousness, because Fawnie Willis couldn't keep it in her pants. Nathan Wade couldn't keep it in his pants. So that's done. And the Florida classified documents case is over. We talked to Julie Kelly about that yesterday. And then you got January 6th. And the Supreme Court still has several rulings to go there. So the legal cavalry is not coming in to save the day. It's Biden who's going to now have to face Trump all by himself. And as David Axelrod said, it may be Biden's own pride here that loses to Donald Trump. Because the truth of the matter is, going around there and trying to brag about the economy all the time, that doesn't work. Because people feel it. You can't lie and tell everybody things are great. You can't lie and tell everybody things are great when people feel when they pay for things. It's not, they can't go, wow, this is really expensive, but somehow I feel great about this. No, it doesn't. You can't spin your way out of that. You can spin a lot of things in life, a lot of things in politics, but you can't spin that. It's just impossible.
I don't understand this. I don't understand all these months later. You know, he went, I thought they spent $25 million mistakenly last fall touting Bidenomics and making the same argument that the president's making here. It is absolutely true. The world was plunged into an economic crisis and America was plunged into an economic crisis by the pandemic. And we've come back faster than almost any other country. And he's right about that. But that's not the way people are experiencing the economy. They're experiencing it through the lens of the cost of living. And he is a man who's built his career on empathy. Mm. Why not lead with the empathy? And I think he's making a terrible mistake. You know, it may not be, if he doesn't win this race, it may not be Donald Trump that beats him. It may be his own pride.
I mean,
maybe Donald Trump that beats him and his own pride. I mean, might be both. Might actually be that Trump's a better candidate and people like his presidency better than they like Joe Biden's presidency. I mean, that's very, very possible. And it's also very possible that because Biden cannot, you know, because they say, well, he's a stubborn Irishman. He doesn't want to acknowledge that people are hurting out there. Biden did not save the economy. COVID ended and people went back to work. That's what happened. That's what happened. But Biden's out there going like, I lowered inflation. This is exactly what Axelrod's talking about. You can throw stats and figures and numbers, but there's an old saying, you know, numbers can lie, but people feel these things. That's probably not a saying. There's a saying in there somewhere. I just don't remember. It's Friday night. And all I know is I'm ready to drive the Wildwood. Should probably leave right after the show. This is exactly the point that Axelrod's making, though, about Biden, how he just simply does not get it.
Of course, it is by far the most important issue for voters. It's also true right now, Mr. President, that voters by a wide margin trust Trump more on the economy. They say that in polls. And part of the reason for that may be the numbers. And you're aware of many of these, of course. The cost of buying a home in the United States is double what it was when you look at your monthly cost from before the pandemic. Real income, when you account for inflation, is actually down since you took office. Economic growth last week, far short of expectations. Consumer confidence, maybe no surprise, is near a two-year low. With less than 6 months to go to Election Day, are you worried that you're running out of time to turn that around?
We've already turned around. Look at the Michigan survey. For 65% of American people think they're in good shape economically. They think the nation's not in good shape, but they're personally in good shape. The polling data has been wrong all along. How many, you guys do a poll with CNN, how many folks you have to call to get one response? The idea that we're in a situation where things are so bad, we've created more jobs, we're in a situation where people have access to good paying jobs, and the last I saw, the combination of the inflation, the cost of inflation, all those things, that's really worrisome to people with good reason. That's why I'm working very hard to bring the cost of rentals down, to increase the number of homes that are available.
What?
Let me say it this way.
Go ahead. Try it.
When I started this administration, people were saying there's going to be a collapse in the economy.
Oh, you know, this is the great myth, right? The great myth. I came in and everything was terrible and I saved the day. And you should be grateful, you people. You people should be thanking me. Be grateful. I got you through it. The only problem is nobody believes that and everybody feels what they feel. Everybody feels what they feel. The nuts and sluts defense is not going to help either. The nuts and sluts defense. I still love this clip. My favorite clip of the day today, the MSNBC guest.
I did, and, you know, as I remind our viewers all the time, Chris and Andrea, I sat through two E. Jean Carroll trials and two cross-examinations of E. Jean Carroll, and I have to tell you, I agree with Sue wholeheartedly. This was very much what I'd call a nuts and sluts defense. There was a portion of the cross-examination where Susan Nicholas was focused on the fact that Stormy Daniels now claims that she is a medium and that she communicates with dead people and has participated in a TV series about the paranormal, where she explores things, including the fact that at one point an ex-boyfriend of hers was inhabited by spirits. She was mocking Stormy Daniels. She wants the jury to think Stormy Daniels is a liar and she is crazy. And she also wants the jurors to judge her for her occupation. And Stormy Daniels gave no ground on that. As Sue just said, she might be an exotic dancer, an adult film actor, but she was very clear when Susan Nicholas used the phrase selling yourself to describe what Stormy Daniels was doing on a tour where she was making appearances at clubs. Stormy Daniels set her straight. I was not selling myself. I was dancing. The implication always was, I am not a sex worker and I don't have a sign around my neck that says consent given freely to everyone at any time.
Right.
She was a woman who seemed pretty self-possessed, in control of her own body and wanting to maintain, essentially, to quote Pretty Woman, I say who, I say when.
Okay, but didn't she also say that she only would use prophylactics and then went ahead and didn't use one? Isn't that the claim also? And she didn't find Trump attractive, but she went with him anyway. All these things. So which is it? Which is it? I say who, I say when, but that contradicts everything that she said. You know, this but this clip is still amazing, though. They're holding her out as this woman of virtue. She was just dancing. She wasn't a sex worker. She was just stripping. She's a porn star. She got paid to have sex. That's what the job is. If you look up a job description, it says, you know, adult actress. What do? You have sex with people on camera. I'm not judging it. I'm just saying that's the job. If you don't do that, you're not very good at your job. So you're getting paid to have sex with people on camera. In fact, one time I remember somebody once said that if you ever got arrested for prostitution, you should claim that you were making a movie. Claim that you were filming a movie. Yeah, and say it was your First Amendment. Just have a camera there. Oh, no, we're shooting an adult flick here. You know, this is just a paid actress. I'm not saying that all these actresses are prostitutes, but they are getting paid to have sex, just like the men in the movies are getting paid to have sex. I don't know what you call people that get paid to have sex. You want to use a different term for it, but that's the job. I get paid to talk. If I come on, hit the mic, if I don't talk for 4 hours a day, I'm not very good at my job. My job was to have sex with people, and I refused to have sex with people. I would be not very good at my job. My contract would not get renewed. So it's just, it is what it is. And then a lot of times what they do, these people, that these adult actors, is they go to strip clubs and you see them on the billboards on 95. You see them outside the stadiums. They'll have this performer, that performer at Delilah's or Club Risque or whatever. And they go out there to promote themselves. It's what they do. It's not that they're necessarily sleeping with the clientele, but they're going to sleep with other people on camera. And they want the people there to pay for their sites or their movies or whatever it is. That's kind of the job. I mean, all right, let's keep going here.
And not, you know, Donald Trump was mine, that I was for the taking by this man. I increasingly see what Trump did to Stormy Daniels. And she used the phrase, what happened to me, more insidiously than I think I ever have. It is a reinforcement of the predator frame that the Access Hollywood tape introduced. It brought into full vision a very new Donald Trump, not just a Donald Trump who was womanizing and liked beautiful women and was one of the world's most eligible bachelors, as David Pecker described him, but a Trump who knew what he was doing and wasn't just hitting on people, but making it impossible for them to escape or at least downright uncomfortable. And Stormy Daniels today.
So now we're going with the allegation that Donald Trump basically she had no say. So she wasn't Pretty Woman who said, it's my way. Donald Trump, even though she came out and he was laying on a bed in boxers and a T-shirt, she had no choice. She was just a helpless victim. That's the other thing, too. that MSNBC wants you to believe. She's now a victim. It's like when the other day when that creep Lawrence O'Donnell was going on describing her looking like a nun. She's just this saintly, saintly woman, and Trump is just this predator man. It's like, first of all, what does this have to do with anything anyway? You know what this is? I'll tell you exactly what this is. This is an effort to try to hurt him with suburban women. And I told you that. And this is why the gag order is so ridiculous. The gag order is so ridiculous because it absolutely ties his hands when it comes to explaining himself and defending himself to suburban women voters. So this guy goes on CNN this morning with Casey Hunt, and he says this guy's his name is Mark Preston. All right, and all the things about Stormy Daniels here is going to turn off suburban women. Now, I've told you, I love suburban women. You are my favorite. I love you. I love you very much. And you're also apparently the demographic that Donald Trump needs to win more than anything. Has to win. And everybody has to win. You're the demo. You're the key demo. So the judge says he can't go out there and explain himself to you. And the left is admitting that the quiet part out loud is they say that, yeah, that's exactly what we're hoping happens here. That all these sordid details about Stormy Daniels' allegations will hurt him with women voters. Listen to this.
We're seeing what's happening in the courtroom right now, and we're paying a lot of attention to these sordid details. In the court of law, I don't think the sordid details are going to matter and perhaps could backfire, what have you. Court of public opinion, though, I mean, we're talking about trying to, I assume.
Wait a second. Let's just not, I don't want to gloss over that point. In the court of law, it's not going to matter. Exactly. It has no bearing on the case. None of this has any bearing on the case. But it's about humiliating Donald Trump. And then it is about getting this out into the court of public opinion. And it is about hurting him with the voters. So it's a two-prong approach to hurt him. Number one is you keep him off the playing field. He's not allowed to go out there and run for president in the same way that Joe Biden is every day of the week. And the second thing is you have these things said in court that don't matter to the case, that don't matter to the case, but they do humiliate Trump. Not only in front of the jury, but also in the court of public opinion. And he can't comment on it. He can't come out and say anything on it because that's the gag order. See the game they're playing here? All right, keep going here.
Now that there are women in these five or six states that we're looking at now, whether it's Wisconsin or Michigan or Pennsylvania or Nevada, Arizona, Georgia, who perhaps would have thought about voting for President Trump. But then they, you know, see this and not to be very sordid, but this is pretty sordid.
It's all very sordid.
I would assume if I cheated on my wife, that would be, I mean, she'd kill me, but that would be one thing.
I would hope so.
She'd probably kill me twice. There's another thing, though, to cheat on your wife and then have it publicly come out that you didn't use protection. And I think that is, no, I'm telling you, though, that is something that I think will hit home. You're laughing, Megan, but it's true.
I think that
is something that there's a trust level. There's the moralistic.
Let's stop it here for a moment. Do you remember yesterday I had the conversation with you about that story that was written about the use of the protection? Do you remember that? The headline, Stormy Daniels testified she had a detailed talk with Trump about always using condoms before their condom-free sex. And I said, who would ever want that story written about them? And I did a poll. Would anybody want that story written about them? Both Matt and Henry said no. Nobody would want that story written about them. But so doesn't that actually play into the claim, the argument that Donald Trump would not want his family to know about this? That Donald Trump would not want his wife to know? The guy just said my wife would kill me if I cheated on her. There's a lot of guys out there in the same boat. So if a woman comes forward and makes an allegation, or you did have an affair with her, whatever, and you don't want your wife to kill you, meaning leave you, divorce you, you don't want the story to come out. Isn't that exactly the point of why Trump would have paid to make this story go away? And yet the argument from Alvin Bragg is that this was a political move to save his campaign. So you see, this guy on CNN is saying that it's very possible that Donald Trump was afraid of his wife finding out. But now he's bringing it to the level of the suburban women voters. Do you think Trump was thinking that in 2016? Or was he thinking, I may lose this election, and then I don't want to lose my wife, too. And my brand, my name is my brand, and all these other things. Because I don't want a story written about me and condom use. So make the story go away. Of course he was thinking that. Everybody in their right mind would be thinking that. Of course he would. I mean, this clip is this is so telling, this clip. It really is in so many different levels. It's why I keep stopping it here. But here we go. Let me just back this up a little bit here, guys. There we go. All right, go ahead.
I think that is something that there's a trust level. There's the moralistic level, you know, issue, you know, that people wrestle with, as I'm wrestling with right now on TV.
I am too, for the record.
To your point about these five or six states that they're trying to play to, those are the Nikki Haley voters that are these moderate women in suburban cities that are going to vote. Who are they going to vote for? They are the undecideds. And these are the things that are going to come up. And these are the ads that the super PACs and other people are going to put forward come September and October to continue to remind these women of these details.
And Trump can't go out there and say anything. So this guy's argument is that when he didn't wrap it, for lack of a better term, that issue of not wrapping it is going to play into their questions of trust and all the other things. But he said, my wife would kill me. And then the women on the panel were like, good, I hope she does. See, there's ample reason for private citizen Donald Trump to want this story to go away, just as much as there is for political candidate Donald Trump to want it to go away. Either way, there's no law that requires candidates to disclose allegations of extramarital affairs, as I pointed out so many times. But Trump can't respond to any of this because of this gag order. He can't say a word.
So thank you very much. On Saturday, we have a tremendous rally. I hope you're all going to be there. It's in Wildwood, New Jersey, where there's going to be a big crowd. And we're going to be saying a lot. We'll be able to campaign on Saturday. And nevertheless, we have a horrible gag order that shouldn't be allowed. It's never been on. Nothing like this has ever happened. What you're witnessing is a first. I have some articles that came out this morning. Jonathan Turley, the predominant question in the Manhattan hush money trial of former President Donald Trump is not one of guilt, but something far more basic. Is the district attorney Alvin Bragg's case a joke? Is it a prank? Is it a farce? On Thursday, the answers became clear. It's all of the above, but it's also an abominable abuse of our justice system and a wretched assault on the rule of law. It's Jonathan Turley. And it just goes on and finishes, although it's a long story that's brutal about this case. This case is highly unconstitutional. It's presided over by a very conflicted judge. Conflicted like I've never seen before. He refuses to take himself off the case, and it should be a mistrial. Their objective, of course, was to humiliate and smear Trump with a gossipy tale of sex that had nothing to do with the criminal charges at issue.
This gag order does not allow him the ability to go out there and say these things, to go out there and speak to the fact that what she said about whether or not I wrapped it is a complete and utter lie. And they know that this is hurting him with suburban women. That's the idea. That's what they want. This is the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria. VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental. VanariaDental.com. We'll continue here with our fourth and final hour, the Wildwood Rally Eve. Don't go away.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
The Supreme Court of the United States issues a ruling, but it's not as bad as it sounds, even though I'm not happy about it. I will explain. Welcome back to the show, our fourth and final hour here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, 855-839-1210, on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. So as you know, for years, I have derided civil asset forfeiture. It is unconstitutional. It is an unconstitutional taking of property by the state. When you've simply been accused of a crime, in some cases you haven't even been charged with a crime, and the state takes your stuff. The state, either the state or feds, take your stuff. Cars, cash, well, your house, whatever it is. Now, criminal forfeiture is different. You've been found guilty. So you've committed a crime, and if something was used as part of that crime, it could be seized. Nobody has a problem with that. This is civil asset forfeiture. They make an accusation. That money you have, you must be using it to buy drugs. We're taking it. That car you have, you must have got it by selling drugs. We're taking it. That house, well, somebody smoked a joint on the driveway. We're seizing the house. And it's an abominable situation because law enforcement has an incentive to take people's property because they're able to use it for their budgets. And there's this joint sharing that goes on between the state and local districts, and they split the proceeds, and it's wrong. It's just wrong. It's unconstitutional, and it's wrong. And you can be the biggest supporter in law enforcement in the world, but it doesn't make it right to steal for the state to steal your stuff if you have not been convicted of a crime. There's a major due process problem here. Now, the story that came out about this divided Supreme Court ruling, it's not great news. I don't want to say that, but it's also not as bad as you think. And this is where it is. The Supreme Court rules no quick hearing is required when police seize property. All right. The issue at stake here was not whether or not they could seize the property. The issue is whether or not there has to be a quick hearing to seize the property. Now, what I'm saying is, what gives me hope is that as I read this article, I read this story fully down, there are two points that were made in the majority opinion, one by Clarence Thomas and one by Neil Gorsuch, in a statement that they said, more fundamental issues regarding the application of civil forfeiture remain unanswered. Noting that civil forfeiture has become a booming business, Gorsuch wrote that the court should use a future case to assess whether the modern practice of civil forfeiture is in line with constitutional guarantees that property may not be taken without due process of law. So you see, this case was not about whether or not civil asset forfeiture is constitutional or not. It was about whether or not there has to be a separate hearing. And based on that, they wrote, and it was a 6-3 decision, Justice Brett Kavanaugh wrote the majority, and he said that a civil forfeiture hearing to ascertain if an owner will lose the property permanently must take place on time. However, the Constitution does not also call for a different hearing to determine whether police may temporarily retain cars or other property. So this was about the timing of a hearing. And given that this court is asking for another case where they can literally now look at it and question whether or not civil asset forfeiture is constitutional at all, gives me great hope. Gives me great hope that perhaps the end is near for this horrific, horrific practice of unconstitutional taking of property. But remember something. this court likes to have narrow rulings. They like to be narrow in their scope. And so that means that if you have a situation where they're dealing with something in particular, in this case, the timing of a hearing, then they're going to focus on that, not the overall broader constitutional question, because that was not at stake before the court. And, you know, I hope, and I think, and this is not the first time, by the way, that Justice Clarence Thomas has raised this point on civil forfeiture. This is not the first time that he's raised this comment. He's said this in the past. He's raised this point again. Now, this is a flawed ruling. I don't like this idea. Civil asset forfeiture is on notice, though. It is on notice. And I ultimately believe the Supreme Court is going to overturn this in the future. Because Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas and Neil Gorsuch, writing in their opinion in the 6-3 decision in Culley v. Marshall, they put a separate statement out there, and they point this out. But the majority opinion was just simply about the separate hearing, and the court precedents established that the answer to that is no. But the larger question, in the concurrent opinion written by Thomas and Gorsuch, is whether or not this is even constitutional in the first place. And I absolutely do not believe it is. They expressed some agreement with Justice Sonia Sotomayor's dissenting opinion, writing, "The case leaves many larger questions unresolved about whether and to what extent contemporary civil forfeiture practices can be squared with the Constitution's promise of due process. They conclude, in asking the questions I do today, I do not profess a comprehensive list, let alone any firm answers. Nor does the way the parties have chosen to litigate this case give cause to supply them. But in future cases, with the benefit of a full briefing, I hope we might begin the task of assessing how well the profound changes in civil forfeiture practices we have witnessed in recent decades comport with the Constitution's enduring guarantee that no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law." Now, I agree with what attorney Nicole Brunecki said, that the court's decision fails to strengthen the protection afforded to personal property under the Due Process Clause. I agree. But she said, "One positive aspect of this decision is that despite there being no requirement for a post-seizure hearing, the court underscored the significance of a prompt post-seizure hearing. However, this language may not be strong enough given that most lower level courts are overburdened and process cases slowly." The National Federation of Independent Businesses and Nonprofit Association of Small Businesses, with presence in all 50 states, scrutinized the decision, saying in a press release that it is disappointed and that many small businesses will be forced to go through a lengthy and costly forfeiture process. I agree. They said when it comes to civil asset forfeiture, small business owners who rent, sell, or conduct cash transactions are particularly vulnerable to harm. Because of this decision, many small business property owners will continue to be targeted and injured by a civil asset forfeiture procedure that violates due process and punishes businesses for the actions of the public. Rob Smith, a senior attorney with the NFIB Small Business Legal Center, told Newsweek they are encouraged by what Thomas and Gorsuch wrote. They said the court benefits from the opportunity to ponder this important question in future cases, and hopefully it does. But for the time, for the small business company whose company's vehicle or property has been seized or will be seized before the court considers the question again, waiting for future cases is easier said than done. So it's not good news. I'm not trying to say that this is a good decision. But Gorsuch and Thomas have signaled what's ahead, what's to come. They did not feel that the scope of this case dealing with the timing of a hearing gave them the ability to overturn or rule that civil asset forfeiture is unconstitutional. And I'm not an expert. I don't pretend to know the machinations of how particular cases are filed. But based on the way that they wrote this, based on the way that the parties chose to litigate this, it sounds to me like they're saying their hands are tied in this case. In asking the questions I do today, I do not profess a comprehensive list, let alone any firm answers, nor does the way the parties have chosen to litigate this case give cause to supply them. But in future cases, with the benefit of full briefing, I hope we might begin the task of assessing how well the profound changes in civil forfeiture practices we have witnessed in recent decades comport with the Constitution's enduring guarantee that no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. So something about this case did not give the justices who want to overturn, who want to rule that civil asset forfeiture is unconstitutional, it violates the due process clause of the Fifth Amendment, the taking clause. This case did not give them the ability to do that, is how I read this, based on the statement that Gorsuch and Thomas put out. So it's a bad ruling. I don't like it. I'm not happy about it. But given the narrow scope that this court chooses to go down, they're asking, they're waiting for the right case so that they can eventually rule this to be unconstitutional. So that's the good news. I think the end is near for civil asset forfeiture. Like the guys from the NFIB said, that doesn't help anybody who, in the meantime, has their stuff taken by the government without due process, without being charged with a crime, without being found guilty of a crime. But the good news is, I believe the end is near. So that's the good news. And we like good news on Friday nights, don't we? We like good news every day, but particularly on Wildwood Rally Eve. Don't go away.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
Friday night, baby, Friday night. Tomorrow we are in Wildwood. I tell you, my son Patrick has a lacrosse tournament all day tomorrow. So I got dad duty, lacrosse duty starting early in the morning. Then I got to head to Wildwood. It's going to be a day. It's going to be a day, no doubt about it. It's funny, my son is 9 and he's so busy right now. I don't remember being this busy when I was his age. Maybe it's a thing now, I think. I was talking to my wife about this the other day, but he's playing lacrosse, he's playing baseball, just signed him up for soccer, flag football, but it's in our town. I mean, every kid is playing like 4 or 5 sports. I think this is all about college. This is all about trying to hopefully help them get into college. I'm guessing. I don't know. That's what seems to be the case. I think that if a kid has a long list of things, or maybe he'll be good enough to play something, get a little scholarship money. I'm not saying like D1 or anything, but you know, maybe something to get. I guess that's what really it's all about, because college gets more and more expensive. So we put our kids through more of a meat grinder every day, whether it's extra tutoring, whether it's extra private lessons for this or that, and tons of sports teams and everything else. That's why when my son wants to just veg out and play his Switch for a little bit and kind of chill, I don't freak out about it. Bridget hates it. She does. She hates him playing the video games. But I played video games when I was a kid. You know, I'd come home from school. See, my wife grew up in upstate New York, and I guess they didn't have electricity or something back then in the Adirondacks. I don't know. But her brothers, they never had a gaming system of any kind. I can't believe it. To this day, I can't believe it. Like when I say this to her all the time, I go, how did you guys not have a Nintendo or something? I mean, I had Atari, Coleco, I had Nintendo eventually, and I would play with my buddies all the time. Back then, you couldn't play online, so there was no online. So you actually had to hang out in person. That's the only downside to games today, is that the kids don't even have to all be in the same room. And so they're isolated from each other, but all playing together. See, we would go to my buddy Timmy Connor's house back in the day. We'd all play Madden together, or Contra, or whatever other game we were playing. We were all hanging out together. And it was a bonding experience. And it was fun. We would do that all the time. Every Saturday we'd do that. It was great. But nowadays, you just sign online and, you know, Patrick's playing with his cousin who lives 45 minutes away, and they're not hanging out together. So that's the only downside to it. But I say to my wife all the time, well, how did you grow up without a gaming system in your house? I don't get that. So I don't mind when he gets to veg out and play a little bit. Plus, I know a lot of these games are very addicting, but they also do have a lot of mental challenging aspects to some of them. Minecraft and, you know, building things and creating worlds and those sort of things, which is good. But all this may get knocked out by this big solar storm. So I've talked about this a little bit earlier today, this severe solar storm could trigger northern lights as far south as Alabama tonight. Now, I know it's pretty cloudy out with this rain today, so I don't know if you're going to be able to see anything, but this is the first severe watch. This was issued by NOAA, and it's a geomagnetic storm watch from moderate to severe for Friday through Saturday. It's the first severe watch in 19 years that could grace the northern tier skies with auroras, but also trigger GPS problems, hamper satellite communication, and blackout high-frequency radio. Or, of course, this is a Chinese cyber attack, and they're just telling us that it's a geosolar storm. I don't know. That's the thing. I don't believe anything anymore. I don't. I'm so jaded, so cynical now, that immediately I see a story like this, I go, oh, really? Big solar storm? Wow. Or is it just that's your excuse because China's attacking us? Or if viewers will want to keep their eyes on the sky this weekend as solar flares from the sun are hurling towards Earth, they'll blame this on climate change. It has nothing to do with climate change, but they'll blame it on that anyway. NOAA has upgraded a geomagnetic solar storm watch from level 3 moderate to level 4 severe as several solar flares have combined. The storms are combining. That could grace the northern tier skies with brilliant auroras, but also trigger all kinds of communications issues. So if you're hearing me right now on the radio, I mean the actual old school radio, you may be hearing me right now. We get emails sometimes from people in Sweden, Norway. Like, I heard you in, and they'll send them to our engineer, Dave Scalish. And they'll tell him, we heard you in, it's just radio waves, how they operate. And when we get situations like this, sometimes it might knock out the radio, or it may send the signal going in all different kind of places, but it's the first severe geomagnetic storm watch issued since January 2005. Two massive sunspots have recently merged and split out at least two X-class, that's the largest, and several M-class, second largest, solar flares. This explosive acceleration of charged and superheated plasma, known as a coronal mass ejection, which I believe also came up in the Stormy Daniels testimony this week, or CME, speeds through space and expands. The new sunspot is 16 times the diameter of the Earth. By the way, coronal mass ejection was my Van Halen cover band name in college. Oh yeah, for unlawful carnal knowledge, we covered that. We are coronal mass ejection. Another sunspot also released strong CMEs this week and continues to be active, according to NOAA. And then these are magnetically complex and much larger than Earth. And it continues to grow and increase in magnetic complexity and has evolved into a larger threat of increased solar flare risk. Wow. Pretty cool. Geomagnetic storms. Now, the question is, will the clouds block your viewing of all this? The skies look clear for most of the northern U.S., so that's good. But clouds will be around the northeast, so that's not good because it's we're in the northeast. Yeah, I don't have my directions right. They have not observed, they have only observed three severe geomagnetic storms since the current solar cycle started in December of 2019. The last severe geomagnetic storm was March 23rd, 2024, and the last extreme one was Halloween storms in October 2003. And resulted in power outages in Sweden and damaged power transformers in South Africa. X-class solar flares are the largest explosions in the solar system. They could produce as much energy as 1 billion atomic bombs. That's a lot. I saw Oppenheimer. It's a big deal. M-class are the second strongest flares that can cause minor radiation storms and can harm astronauts. The solar cycle is peaking, making solar storms more plentiful. So it's nothing to do with global warming, but of course they're going to say it is. But in 1859, the Great Carrington Event, generally regarded as Earth's greatest solar storm in recent history, covered nearly the entire planet in aura. About 14,000 years ago, a solar flare, possibly hundreds of times stronger than the Carrington flare, impacted Earth. So there you go. So good luck. Good luck with the solar storms out there. It's going to be kind of easy. The CMEs are coming and could start anytime. The impact could last 2 to 2.5 days, could 4 to 5 days. It could go on. Severe geomagnetic solar storm. may hit the Earth. And there's a lot to this that you need to know. So if everything gets kooky tonight, and I don't know, I mean, sometimes it's not just even the electronics. I think this stuff makes people that crazy, too. I really do. You ever notice that? Well, they used to call people lunatics because the full moon would make them crazy. But I think stuff like this makes people nuts. It makes them just kind of, I don't know, a little bit. But anyway, so watch out for that. All right, tomorrow we're in Wildwood. We'll be at Mulligan's Shore Bar live from, well, 3 o'clock we'll start the festivities going all the way up to 7 o'clock. I'll be there around 5 o'clock to watch the Trump rally with you. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you missed Trump today on with Nick and Dawn, you can go back and check out the podcast of that. He talked about how Jewish American voters should not vote for Joe Biden. And he also talked about Title IX. And this was very newsworthy. Dawn asked him about Title IX. This is the rewrite by Biden, changing it, you know, to allow dudes into women's locker rooms and dudes to play women's sports. And the president said, future president said, it was done by executive order. And I will undo it by executive order on day number one, day numero uno. I will undo what Joe Biden has done with Title 10, which is good. And that's the other good news, too, is that he can undo what Biden's done, the disaster on the border. He can undo the ban on natural gas. He can undo all these things. He can undo these things because the good news is that most of the destruction Joe Biden has wrought on this country, he's done by executive order. Now, Trump can undo the billions and billions of dollars that have already been sent to Ukraine, for example. But he can undo all of Joe Biden's unlawful executive orders, including the student loan debt bribery scam, all the other things that are happening. He can undo that with the stroke of a pen, because that's the thing. If you govern by executive order, then the next guy who gets in can undo your executive orders. So there you go. Have a great rest of your weekend. The great one, Mark Levin, is up next. Please keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. Instagram at Zeoli Show. See you in Wildwood.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the Free Odyssey app.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.